Chapter 2.
There's no such thing as ghosts, Ruth whispered later that night at dinner to the six of them seated at a round table in the impressive dining room. The room had recently been renovated and boasted 20-foot-tall ceilings, a limestone fireplace with hand-sculpted cherubs, and four Waterford crystal chandeliers. White linen-clad tables decorated with real silver, fine china, and crystal sat dotted around the room. Lexi was seated with Jack, Nans, and Nans' three friends, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, to whom Violet had been kind enough to extend an invitation. Nans leaned toward Ruth.
Don't tell anyone. These guys think ghosts are real.
I think having a ghost would spice things up, Ida said.
Jack rolled his eyes, focusing on slathering his baked potato with butter.
It sure would, Helen twittered. You never know what might happen around here. There could be a mystery to solve right under our noses, and a ghost would certainly add an intriguing twist.
Lexi followed Helen's gaze to a small table in the corner, where a mustached man sat by himself. The man had been introduced to her as Gustav Schilling, and he seemed to be a loner. Leonard had said he was a special consultant hired on for this documentary. Gustav kept to himself and didn't interact with the other crew members. Lexi figured he was probably just antisocial, but she'd heard Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen talking about him earlier. They'd found him to be suspicious, which wasn't unusual, considering that they fancied themselves to be amateur detectives and were in the habit of thinking of everyone as being suspicious, even when no crime had been committed. The clackety-clack of stilettos on marble signaled the entrance of Gloria Lee. Lexi looked up from her filet mignon to see the middle-aged former starlet make her entrance. The woman seemed to have an endless supply of stilettos. She'd only arrived that morning and had already worn three different pairs. The current pair was bright red. Lexi recognized them as Steve Madden's and felt a sudden pang of nostalgia. She used to wear stilettos all the time too, but had opted for more comfortable footwear over a year ago. It was one thing to bebop around in stilettos when you were in your 20s, but Lexi was in her 30s now, and she needed more practical footwear, especially since she was on her feet all day at the bakery. She wondered how Gloria managed it. The woman must have been 15 years Lexi's senior, yet she glided around as if she were walking on clouds. Of course, you could hear her coming a mile away with the marble floors that covered every square inch of the mansion. But Lexi was discovering that could be a good thing, especially if you wanted to avoid talking to her.
Am I late?
Gloria's face was wide with innocence, as if she didn't know she was late. She paused in the doorway, just under the largest of the chandeliers, her red, glittery dress sparkling as if it had batteries. Lexi got the impression she'd been late and interrupted dinner on purpose, so as to be noticed by everyone. Under that innocent veneer, Gloria Lee knew exactly what she was doing. Ever the gracious host, Violet cooed,
"No, dear, please just have a seat, and I will have Karen bring you something from the kitchen. Tonight, we have a choice of filet mignon or Chilean sea bass. Which would you prefer?"
Gloria patted her trim stomach and said, "I'll have to have the sea bass. I'm watching my girlish figure."
Violet nodded to Karen, who scurried off to collect the dinner. A few people rolled their eyes. Lexi had noticed that happened a lot around Gloria. She was an aging actress who had had a momentary flash of fame 20 years ago, which had died out quickly. Gloria was still kind of a diva, but Leonard had insisted on having her in the documentary because she'd grown up in town and had a connection to Wellington Mance.
Gloria, dear, Leonard cooed. Tell us what you know about the ghost of Wellington Mance.
Gloria perched on the edge of her chair, beaming at the attention.
Well, I don't know that much.
She paused for effect, her wide blue eyes looking around at everyone at the large head table where she was seated.
But I did think I saw the ghost one night when I was visiting here.
A hush fell over the dining room, and everyone strained to hear what she had to say next. Lexi thought Gloria was probably being overly dramatic.
It was right around the time that Princess Tatiana was staying here. I was sitting in the main hall, and I saw a ghostly apparition float down the main stairs.
What did it look like?
Leonard stared at her with rapt attention.
You know, all misty and stuff.
Gloria waved her hands around. The chunky, jeweled rings she wore sparked off the light of the chandeliers. Lexi remembered reading something about Gloria having to sell off her jewelry for money years ago. She felt a pang of sympathy for the woman. She was just a fading starlet that needed money. She wondered if Gloria was embellishing for Leonard in order to get more time in front of the camera, and if more camera time equated to more pay.
So, you knew the Wellingtons?
Mrs. Pendrake, a full-bosomed older woman seated across from Gloria, asked. Gloria nodded and started in on her sea bass.
You must have been here all the time, then.
Danny Manning, the associate producer, tapped his knife on the white linen tablecloth annoyingly. Lexi had noticed the man was a bundle of nerves and energy, the type that couldn't sit still.
Well, not all the time. I did have other places to go, too, you know,
Gloria answered. So then, you lived here in town when the tiara was stolen? Joy, one of the camera crew, asked. Gloria nodded.
Yes, I was here then. I mean, not here in the mansion, here in town.
Do you have any insider information? Like, who stole it? Mrs. Pendrake leaned forward, eager to hear any gossip. Lexi was surprised she didn't already know who stole it, as she seemed to be one of those busybodies that knew everything that was going on. Violet had told them that Mrs. Pendrake had found out about the documentary and showed up wanting to stay as a guest. Leonard had persuaded Violet to accommodate her, saying her local color would add depth to the production. Gloria laughed, but instead of the twitter that Lexi expected, it sounded more like a garbage disposal grating marbles.
Well, it must have been the ghost, because no one ever found out who did it.
Leonard clapped his hands.
This is marvelous. I didn't know you'd actually seen the ghost. Well, this will lend an authentic air.
Gloria beamed and batted her eyelashes, obviously pleased with herself and possibly even flirting with him. Danny nodded enthusiastically.
This'll be great, just great, a real great addition. It was so smart of you to include Gloria, Leonard.
Like any good assistant, Danny sucked up to his boss.
That's why I make the big bucks, Leonard said.
Danny's mouth flattened into a thin line. Was he jealous that Leonard made so much more than he? He'd mentioned something about being above his pay scale earlier in the day, but Lexi hadn't paid much attention to the context. It was really none of her business anyway. Lexi noticed everyone was done with their dinner. She leaned over and squeezed Jack's hand, then whispered, "I'm going to get dessert ready." She slipped out of her seat and headed to the kitchen as unobtrusively as possible. Since she knew exactly how much flame to give the creme brulee now, it would only take a few minutes and she'd have the perfect dessert. She pushed the swinging door open to the empty kitchen. Well, not entirely empty. Karen was in there fumbling to disconnect a call on her cell phone her cheeks deep crimson. "Oh, sorry," Lexi said. Garen slipped the phone into her apron pocket and mumbled an apology. Lexi felt a twinge of sympathy for the girl. Violet probably didn't allow personal calls during work hours, and Lexi had caught her red-handed. "Don't worry," Lexi soothed. "What happens in the kitchen stays in the kitchen." Karen smiled and scurried out the door, leaving Lexi to her work. The desserts came out perfectly browned and crusted, but not burned. Lexi beamed with pride as Karen and two other staff members passed them around. Everyone oohed and aahed over them, except the mustached man. Lexi noticed he had left even before dessert was served. When the last person was done dabbing their lips with the crisp white linen napkins, Leonard clapped his hands loudly. The room fell silent, and he stood up.
"Everyone, we will start promptly at 7 tomorrow morning. I want you all to look lively, so early to bed is recommended."
He took a plastic amber pill bottle full to the top out of his pocket and shook it.
"I have my sleeping helpers here, and since I'm feeling a little chill, I will take a hot toddy in my room in 10 minutes. I suggest the rest of you wind down and retire for the evening as well."
A murmur floated across the room. It was only 8 o'clock, but Lexi got the impression that most of the crew was probably used to Leonard's odd schedule.
No complaints. You people are lucky, and I know you will want to be well rested."
He paused and surveyed the group.
"Because tomorrow, I will expose the real secret of Wellington Mance, and you will all be the first to know it."